Welcome to Creating Connection with me, your host, Dr. T, where we will navigate being human together. We'll do this through conversations, exploring the challenges and joys of life, uncovering insights and strategies to create meaningful connections, to foster personal growth and find solace in the collective wisdom of our diverse community. Drawing from a unique blend of academic expertise and personal experiences, I will dive into the joys and complexities of aging, death, dying, grief, and body image. With a blend of humor and compassion and understanding, we will forge connections that transcend geographical boundaries and unite us in our shared humanity. When we come together, the possibilities are endless. Creating Connection with me, Dr. T, starts now. Hello, everyone. I'm your host, Dr. T, and you're listening to Creating Connection on Transformation Talk Radio. Stay with me for the next hour as I share practical frameworks and mindfulness strategies that have influenced my path. And here we are at the new year. Happy 2024. I'm so glad you're here and joining me for this episode, episode 8. Talking about resolutions, I've usually had a pretty steady rant against them, and, you know, they're kind of set up to, you know, fail, but not necessarily, but the research does show that people don't necessarily follow through with resolutions. And I think that there's a tide and a shift happening here of like how we look at the new year. I love a fresh start. Like, I love new calendars. I love new office supplies. I live for a good framework. And so I'm all about trying to figure out, like, how can I understand myself and who I am in the world a little bit better? And today I'm really excited to share some key things that I've learned along my path, and hopefully they will inspire or help you as well. So again, research, I had pulled up some stats here. New Year's resolution stats. Let's see, for 2023, and I have these listed in my reference section, so you can look at this too, because I won't read all of this. But according to a 2016 study, 41% of Americans who make New Year's resolutions, by the end of the year, only 9% feel like they are successful in keeping them. And an earlier study in 2007 showed that 12% of people who set resolutions are successful, even though 52% of the participants were confident of success at the beginning. So again, there's this like fresh start and I can't wait. And new year, new me is something that goes around, which drives me absolutely bonkers, because I think that, you know, we woke up on another day, and every day in theory is a new year, right? Because it's a year from the last day or date at that time, which is a bit of a stretch, but there's something about the energy of going into a new year. Maybe you're starting a new calendar, and it is a great time for reflection, especially after the busyness that many people feel after the holidays. So, you know, it's kind of primed for that. Reasons that people don't meet their resolutions. So one study in 2014, 35% of the participants who did not achieve their New Year's resolution said that they had unrealistic goals. 33% of participants who didn't meet their resolutions said they didn't keep track of their progress. 23% forgot about their resolutions. And about 1 in 10 people who did not meet their resolutions said that they made too many. So again, it can be this like, oh my gosh, I want to change everything and I want everything to look and feel different in a year's time. And there is something to be said that, you know, don't hold off on, you know, trying to do new things or exploring what might support your life in a better way. I'm not saying that at all. What I am saying is to make a conscious or mindful decision before you just jump into everything, because it can be a little bit exciting and overwhelming. And I am a Like I said, fresh start girl. I love new ideas. I get wildly excited about things, and then I might forget about them, or you know, just kind of, you know, on to the next, because life gets lifing and it can be really hard and challenging. And so let's talk about people. And just to finish up the stats, people do tend to drop their resolutions by mid-January or the beginning of February. And so there's kind of this, I think it was like January 17th is known as like resolution drop date or something like that. But that I don't have right in front of me, but I read it and I thought that was interesting. So people who add in behavior change, people who add in behavior change are more successful than folks who avoid. So this would be like an approach-oriented goal. They were shown to be significantly more successful than those with avoidance-oriented goals. And so what do I mean by that? So approach-oriented means moving towards or maintaining a habit. So it would say, you know, I want to move 30 minutes four times a week, or I'd like to meditate 10 minutes per day. So you're adding something in. When I heard about that approach, I actually got a habit tracker and I started doing like, what am I adding in versus what am I taking away or denying myself? Because I don't do really well when I deny or feel like, you know, then there's kind of this rebellion or resistance, or at least that's the experience I've had. And so, and then avoidance orientation would be moving away from or maintaining a distance. So like eat less junk food or quit smoking, which is something I did successfully twice in my life now. And that feels really good, but I can talk a little bit more about that later. So what you want to do is actually think about things that might be additive to your life, so that are supportive, because then you're kind of doing that care-centered approach or friendly approach to your body. And you can listen to mindful eating, which was episode 5. If you want to start thinking about like, how can I relate to this container that I'm in a little bit with a little bit more friendliness. And also people who have support with their goals or things that they want to achieve, if they had the right kind of support, they did better with behavior change. So no one really likes being told what to do, or, you know, maybe someone's like, oh, I'll go to the gym with you. But if you feel like that is a critique or criticism for what you're doing already, you know, that's not going to go very far. But if you ask people for the type of support that you need, and if you understand the support that is most helpful for you, then that can be a really big game changer. Which this leads me to a favorite framework of mine. So the 4 tendencies, this was, it's a book by the same title by Gretchen Rubin. And where it started is she had written a book called The Happiness Project. And in that book, she did activities that were supposed to make people happy, you know, do yoga or, you know, I can't remember. I did read that book, but that's been a long time now. Anyway, so after she wrote that book, she was getting a response from folks and readers saying like, well, how did you just do that? How did you just do yoga for 1 month straight? Or, you know, I can't remember the parameters. And she thought, well, why is this a question? Like, I don't understand this. So she started putting out questions to her followers or her community. And one was talking about New Year's resolutions. And she got back, you know, a variety of responses, but she was able to start seeing that they kind of lined up into 4 different buckets. So she expanded this research, asked more questions. There's a link to her quiz in the notes. So please feel free to take that. I feel like it's super helpful. So the 4 tendencies. If Sierra, will you put up slide 1? I want to talk to about the types at a glance. So this is how you respond to internal and external expectations. So this isn't like who you are. This isn't you are only this way, but it's simply internal and external expectations. So that leads us right to goal setting and when we're trying to make behavior change, right? So, and again, getting that right kind of support. So the types at a glance are upholder, questioner, obliger, and rebel. And the upholder, they are able to kind of respond to internal and external expectations with ease, no problem. And their little tagline is, discipline is my freedom. And they do what's right. And they do what's right, even when people call you uptight. So that's kind of their little moniker that she had created for them. Questioner is another type that they will comply, or they will follow internal and external expectations if they are convinced of the why, right? So I'll comply if you convince me why. And that whole thing is like a questioner. And then there's the obliger. You can count on me, and I'm counting on you to count on me. And then their tagline is, I'll do anything you ask until I won't, which gets into obliger rebellion. And I'll talk a little bit about these in more detail here. And then the final type, at a glance, is a rebel. And their tagline is, you can't make me and neither can I. And then the other square, it says, it's so hard when I have to and so easy when I want to. And so, Sierra, I'll have you put that down and I'll talk a little bit more about the types here. Thank you so much. So with this, there are four types. I am an obliger. And when I first read that, I thought, oh my gosh, you know, every framework, I'm a two in the Enneagram, which is a helper. And then I'm an obliger. I'm like, oh, of course, you know. But actually, obligers make up most of the population. I think it was like 51%. And what happens with obligers and how it helped me understand like the support that I needed in my life, or how to advocate for my needs. And we talked about needs and, you know, in nonviolent communication in episode 7. So as an obliger, that is like, I am counting on you to count on me until I don't want that, which then she calls that obliger rebellion. How this showed up in my life with my husband, oh, he's a rebel. And so that's, you can't make me and neither can I. After I read about this framework, one day, you know, we had two older dogs at the time, and he said, well, I think that they need to go for walks twice a day. As an obliger, what I heard is, I have to take them for walks twice a day. And I'm scrambling in my brain. I'm like, well, when am I going to do that? And I'm in grad school and and then there just is this kind of overwhelm, because I think that he's asking me to do that. He wasn't. And so because I knew this framework, I was able to pause kind of that chatter and like overwhelm feeling and say to him, babe, like, do you want me to take them for walks twice a day? And he's like, no, why? There are dogs. Like, and so it didn't even occur to him that that's how I was hearing things. And so now that I'm aware of that pattern, I can say, oh, I don't want, you know, if I don't want to say yes, I can say no. So I started playing with saying no. And my advisor, my dissertation chair, Yvonne, she teased me and said that she didn't like that I learned this because I started saying no. She did that tongue in cheek. She is an upholder. So she easily does internal and external expectations with ease. So learning to say no. And in the book, Gretchen Rubin talks about, you know, the fact that obligers are the only people that think they need to say yes to everything. So if you take the quiz and you are an obliger, I highly recommend the book. And also you might want to start thinking about playing with the idea of saying no and watching and realizing that the world does not end. It's quite miraculous and freeing. And as a rebel, learning to talk with my husband, this whole idea of you can't tell me what to do and neither can I, you know, there was a time that he wasn't feeling well. And, you know, my normal MO would have been like, I think you should stay home from work. Da, 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 da. But after reading this, all I said was, how did I say it? I said something like, well, it seems like you're, you know, feeling run down and it's, you know, kind of cold and flu season. This was back before COVID, cold and flu season. Maybe, you know, it might be, you might feel better staying home. And I just left it at that. And then he was able to make his decision. So my sister, shout out Kelly, has called me the rebel whisperer. And Charlie can feel and hear when I do it, but he's like, it works every time, I hate it. And then as a questioner and realizing that there were questioners in my life, as an obliger, when I had interactions with questioners, like, you know, just asking me questions, I was like, oh, I feel like obliged to answer you. Cause I didn't understand why I would feel so stressed in certain interactions when some people were like, and what about this? And what about this? And I'm like, I don't have the answer for that. And so now I was able to be like, I don't have the answer for that. Or, you know, then they took the quiz too, and I was able to tease them and call them my questioner. And so when I feel barraged with questions, I understand that they're just trying to understand what's going on, and I don't take it personally. And I'm able to say, hey, questioner, you know, Google might help you with that. So that is a framework that I feel is super helpful. And Sierra, if you could bring up the second slide, I'll talk a little bit about that. I've kind of talked around how to work with the types just by giving you some of my examples. But if you find out your type, and then you can learn how to work with yourself. And so this might help you if you have goals or ideas for the upcoming year. So upholder, if you're an upholder, this is, I think rebel is the least amount of people, upholder is the second to least. There's that sounded so random. Anyways, obliger, Most people are obligers, then it's questioners, then it's upholders, and then rebels. So upholders, if you are an upholder, you'll want to schedule your habits, define them clearly, why, how, and what, and then track them. And then you can link your self-care habits with other daily practices. And they, I'm blanking on the author, but Atomic Habits, he talks about stacking your habits. So linking your self-care habits with other daily practices, and seal your commitment with a written contract. So you could make contracts with people just, you know, to help you hold on to the changes that you want to make or the things that you want to add into your life. If you're an obliger, you could join a habit changing program, or you could partner with others, track your habits, schedule treats, not rewards, and recognize adherence. So again, you want to track this, but partnering with other people can be really helpful. I know that, I have, when I have like had writing groups or whatever, it's not that I'm not going to write, but when I know that I'm meeting someone, I'm like, okay, so here's that hour or two in my day, and we're going to just write. And then that's scheduled in my day, and I wouldn't let someone else down. Whereas I might get distracted or fill in my own appointments with myself, with other people's requests. Right. So, you know, I had someone ask me something, and I was like, I did have plans. I had plans to write, but in my head, I'm like, well, technically I could help. But then again, that goes back to episode 7 in nonviolent communication, where, you know, do you have the willingness and capacity to help someone? So all of these things are linking together to help me as I move and want to make changes in my own life. So if you are a questioner, it's important to define your habits clearly, why, how, and what. And then you also want to track, investigate options for self-care habits, and research interesting self-care options, and observe your excuses. So when you are questioning, it makes sense that you would say to yourself, okay, I will do this if it makes sense. So make it make sense for yourself. I hope that makes sense to you. And then if you're a rebel, identify if and why self-care is valuable. Understand the consequences of self-care. Consider self-care a way to express your uniqueness and explore unique options for self-care habits. Make self-care convenient rather than scheduled. And Sierra, you can put that slide away. So making it convenient, not expected. So even if it's that, because it's that line, right? You know, you can't tell me what to do and neither can I. And so it's that idea of like, it makes sense in my schedule. It's fun. It's engaging. It keeps you interested. So that's a framework for understanding how you might support yourself if you want to make goals and add in behavior change or add in any different things into your life. So the four tendencies, again, you can go and take the free quiz and then start working with that so that you have kind of that, you know, a foundation so that you can get the support that you need and support yourself into achieving your goals. So one of the things that was talked about in the research was that people said that they didn't meet their resolutions because they had made too many. This leads me to a book called Essentialism. And so people people who focus on small changes and not everything all at once are more successful. So the book Essentialism I read a while ago, and it's about making choices on how to use your time. And Sierra, if you could pull up slide 3, that would be great. And so for people who aren't watching this live, if you're listening, the replay of this is on YouTube. And so you'll be able to see that the slides, but I'm talking you through them. So essentialism, it's doing the right thing for the right reason at the right time. And that's kind of the sweet spot and the highest point of contribution. And so it's not just getting rid of obvious time wasters. It's actually cutting out some really good opportunities as well. And so it's like you're asking yourself, will this activity or effort make the highest possible contribution towards my goal? So again, you know, we might identify a goal, and then we can find out what type we are to get support or to support ourselves in meeting that goal. But then life's right. Like life comes in and there's many different opportunities and things. And so it's deciding, you know, what action is supporting my goal, right? And so, and that might be saying no to some really cool opportunities. And I'll go to the next slide, Sierra. And so if you think about your energy, and there's a ball here with like a circle with the word energy in it, and then there's arrows, short arrows around one. And that's if you think of like having your energy and it's like, oh, I'm trying to do this. And you don't get very far in any direction. And the next circle has the word energy in it. But once you have this kind of concentrated focus of, you know, the right thing at the right time for the right reason, then you can really make a difference because you're concentrating that effort up. And so you can drop the slides here and I'll just go back to chatting. Thank you so much. And so it's not getting rid of obvious time wasters, but cutting out some really good opportunities. And so the assumptions to conquer here with this framework of essentialism is moving from I have to, and it's all important and I can do both, right? So we often can get distracted because of course everything's important. It's all important, or, you know, in the shoulds and the have tos. The core truth is what Greg McKeown is talking about in this book is that we look at things and start shifting our language to I choose to, only a few things really matter, and I can do anything, but not everything. And so this idea, like we can have it all, we can do everything, and we can, but maybe not all at once. And so you're really setting yourself up for more success if you start focusing and honing in on what is really important and what are the things that really matter and that you're choosing to do. Because again, if we move that language from have to choose to, it actually can do a lot of good in the gratitude or the lack of resistance realm as well. You know, it's like, oh, I have to do laundry, or, you know, I choose to do laundry because I want to take care of my clothes and things like that. It's an interesting shift that you might want to play with. I've done it in my life with dishes. It's a kind of a mindful approach as well, because, you know, the reason that I have to do laundry or I have to do dishes is because I have clothes that I get to wear and enjoy. And then I get to take care of them. I choose to take care of them. Also with dishes, you know, yes, you have to do dishes, but really, you know, if you go, what's underneath that is that you have dishes, you had food to put it on, you had the ability to, you know, make something in your own home that, you know, created dirty dishes. And that's just an idea to play with. Anyways, I got stuck on that, but I think it's really important as well. It's helped me. And so again, I'll just read a couple of quotes here. So the question to ask yourself is, will this activity or effort make the highest possible contribution towards my goal? And a quote from the book is, essentialism is not about how to get more things done. It's about how to get the right things done. It doesn't mean just doing less for the sake of less either. It's about making the wisest possible investment of your time and energy in order to operate at our highest point of contribution by doing only what's essential. And so there are trade-offs with that. And we're not used to thinking of it that way, because the reality is saying yes to an opportunity by definition requires saying no to several others. And just start paying attention to this in your own life. And so he says, essentialists seek trade-off as an inherent part of life, not as an inherently negative part of life. Instead of asking, what do I have to give up? Ask, what do I want to go big on? So thinking back to that slide of, you know, where your energy, if it's all just going out in a ball in different areas and not moving the needle very far, but it's like, what do I want to really go big on? You know, what one or two things do I really want to concentrate on, you know, this year or this day, you know, and understand how you can, achieve more by maybe saying no to things that even sound good. And so I love this quote here too, and I want to bring this forward is, what if we stopped celebrating being busy as a measure of importance? And I'm going to pause here in the middle of the quote, because think about how you respond to people, right? When people say, oh, how are you doing? Oh, busy, busy, busy. Start paying attention to, like, how often are you saying busy? And start noticing, like, do you wear that as like kind of a badge of honor or a measure of importance, really? Because we have this culture where we kind of, you know, it's like we want to produce and we want to achieve things, but being busy doesn't necessarily mean you're achieving the things that you want to achieve. So it's about slowing down and paying attention and identifying what is important to you. So to continue, I'll start the quote over. What if we stop celebrating being busy as a measure of importance? What if instead we celebrated how much time we had spent listening, pondering, meditating, and enjoying time with the most important people in our lives? And I just think that that's maybe a guiding light in this whole quest of resolutions and what are we doing and how do we do this? And so really the purpose of the exploration is to discern, what is vital and what's trivial. And to do that, you actually do need space to think and listen, permission to play, rest and sleep. And so to understand that we're always making choices, right? And that again is not in a judgment or in a beat yourself up way, because that's never the message that I'm going to share with you. But actually slowing down enough to listen and to see what is important and where do you want to put your time and energy. And one last quote about essentialism. Once you give yourself permission to stop trying to do it all, to stop saying yes to everyone, can you make your only once? Oh, so I'll start over. Only once you give yourself permission to stop trying to do it all, to stop saying yes to everyone, can you make your highest contribution towards the things that really matter? And again, this is self-awareness, it's mindfulness, it's paying attention on purpose so that you understand, you know, what is actually really driving you. Is it the messages that you're getting from social media or even family or friends of like, oh, I should change this or I should do this? And again, noticing my language here, should. And so if you're if you're going and operating out of a should, maybe pausing and stepping back and going like, what is underneath that? Is that something that really I value? Is that something that I want to put my time to? Or do I just think that, you know, I need to do things in a certain way, or, you know, diet so that my body looks a certain way? So being curious, and it's not about not changing these things or not adding these things in. I have a deep goal to add in more vegetables to my life. And thankfully, you know, my sister and her partner gave us some grill basket for Christmas because she heard me say that. And I love that. She's like, oh, I heard you say you want to add more vegetables, so I want to support that. And I am just thrilled. And so, you know, again, that's support that I needed. And it was from expressing a goal of wanting to add more vegetables into my life. So I'll keep you posted on how that goes this year. Okay, so this is leading me another framework that I absolutely love. It's been in my life for 4 years, and it has made such a difference in my life. And it's called Dressing Your Truth. And so Dressing Your Truth is a framework created by a woman named Carol Tuttle, T-U-T-T-L-E. I have links to her quiz so that you could find your own type, as well as her site or her book. She has a book called Just My Nature. And so I want to share a little bit about this framework. Again, love me a good framework, but it has made such a difference. So it doesn't really have anything to do with resolutions. My friend Jen introduced me to this to Dressing Your Truth in January of 2020, which was actually prime time. You know, we didn't know, but we were going down into a shutdown, and I took to this and was able to dive in and really understand my type. And so, Sierra, if you'll share image one, I want to talk about the different types that are available. And I need to pull it up on my end too so I can see it. I'm like, I'm in that episode. Okay. And so Dressing Your Truth. So Carol Tuttle has identified energy types. And so some people are like, oh, I know this. I'm a spring, fall, summer, winter. It's not that. It is based on like your outward expression of energy, your face shape and format. Format is what we say about faces. Anyway, so she identified four types and traits. And what I love about this is it has helped me not only with like, what do I wear and what colors do I wear, but it to support kind of the energy that I bring to the world and kind of honor, not kind of honor that. So there's four types. So type one is primary movement is upward, light, buoyant, random. Type two, their movement is fluid, flowing, relaxed, subtle. Type three is active, reactive, pushing forward and swift. Type four is constant, reflective, and straightforward. And this is available like online as well, but it will also be shown on the video. And so the natural gifts of a type one are ideas. Like, I have an idea and we can do it. And so the natural gift of a type two would be in the details. What details do we need to make a plan? And type three is action. Let's get to work. Let's get it done. And type four is in perfecting. Here's how we can make things better. Here's how we can make this process better. And so when you look at these traits, I'm not going to read every one of them, but there's, you know, what are priorities and what are they described as, judged as, what do they appreciate, what are they prone to, and all of that. And so So with the types, so this is your energy type. And then she has this framework of like, what colors do you wear? What do you, you know, how do you dress and what fabrications and what things do you wear? And so Sierra, would you share the picture of my closet? So before Dressing Your Truth, My closet was a rainbow of blacks and grays and maybe a couple of white items in there. I did not know how to shop. I hated shopping. And so I would always gravitate towards these kind of bleh neutral colors because it helped, you know, I would just get overwhelmed in a store, or I would borrow things from my twin sister. Thanks, Kelly. I appreciate all your support over the years. Hit that. It's here. You can drop that picture. So my closet. So that was my closet. Then I take this quiz and I find out that I am a type one. And type ones are that bright animated ideas. And I was able to be like, oh, okay, that's really interesting. Rather than trying to be, you know, something that I'm not, like in the weeds and in the details, which I never gravitated towards, I could really focus on how do I let my ideas and my ability to connect and my outward energy to shine. And so it's helped me in a lot of areas other more than what I wear, but I start with my closet so that you can see the contrast. So I'll go through the types and I'll tell you like what colors types wear. So type fours wear pure color. And so it's very bold, very striking. Type threes wear pure color plus black. So it's kind of that dirty mustards, olives, things like that. Type twos wear pure color plus gray. So it's, you know, if you think of kind of that dusty blue or dusty pink or gray, you know, the color gray. And type one, my type, we wear pure color plus white, so tints. And so you can see that for those watching, I'm wearing a very bright and vivid pink color, which never would have happened in all of my days prior to Dressing Your Truth. And oh, and the bad news for people who gravitate towards grays and blacks, grays should only be worn by type twos and black should only be worn by type fours. And this is a real sticking pain point for many people, because again, we're told, you know, especially as women, you know, that little black dress and, you know, black is the go-to and it's slimming, but it really can be quite draining. And now I know, and Sierra, if you could show my before and after picture, there's just an energy and a brightness with being able to be fully expressed in your type. And again, you know, take it with a grain of salt. I love it. I have jumped into it. I was actually in a video with Carol Tuttle. You can find that on YouTube where I'm talking. I was a month in and I put my hand up to be in a video. And it was so much fun. And I really love it. And, you know, some people are like, ah, you know, I don't like it, or I don't know. I'm not here to convince you to do it, but it has made such a difference in my life, not in only, you know, the confidence in what to wear, how to shop, but really in that the energy or the type that I bring to the world. I talk with my hands a lot. You might have noticed that if you're watching. And I used to think like, oh, I should be, you know, more serious and still. And I can be still, you know, especially when in meditation or leading meditation. But my natural inclination is, you know, I'm great at ideas. I love new things. And again, that's that fresh start personality part that I talked about at the beginning, you know, a fresh notebook. Oh my gosh, the notebooks I have, and I'm so lucky to have, but yeah, a new notebook, oh, new office supplies. Just, they make me so happy. Okay. So that is Dressing Your Truth. That is a framework that I wanted to show you so that if you want to actually, you know, do any exploration, or if you've ever found yourself saying like, ah, I hate everything in my closet, or I hate shopping, you know, it might be fun to explore. She also has a free quiz. She has great resources. This is Carol Tuttle again. She has great resources, a lot of free resources online and on YouTube. And so I highly recommend you checking that out. It has been really fun for me to play with color, to wear pink that I used to be like, ugh, pink, gross. Who would wear it? And now, yeah, I love it. I love all of the bright colors. They make me happy. Going back to that, I have to do laundry. I love the way my laundry rack looks now. It's so happy, bright, festive colors. I didn't take a picture of that. But it does, it is a little bright spot in my day. And I've had people also share that they've tried it as well. And for people that it makes sense for, they say, oh, I feel drained when I don't wear my colors, or I feel like I, age backwards. Yeah. So check it out, try it out. It's something that I really wanted to share with you today. And also, it's, going on my 4-year anniversary. So that is one that has really stuck for me. And all of this is about self-awareness, right? So it's all about like understanding and knowing who, kind of who you are, and also getting really curious about how you want to express and be seen in the world. And again, it's not about judgment, right? So it's not about, I'm trying to do all of these things because I'm bad and wrong, or I need to change something, but it's more about like, hey, I'm aware of this, and I want to approach these things from a place of friendliness or curiosity, and not from a place of judgment and, kind of that fight energy. And so I want to take a quick break. You're listening to Creating Connection with Dr. T. And after this break, I'll guide a short mindful meditation and wrap up the show with action items. So thank you so much for being here, and we'll see you in a few minutes.
Tune in to the Empowered Living Zone with me, Dr. A, on the first and third Tuesdays at noon Pacific Time on TransformationTalkRadio.com as we deliver powerful, inspirational, and motivational messages that reignite the fire that fuels your courage to live the life you crave. Get ready to be ignited by spirit, fueled by purpose, and guided by vision in the Empowered Living Zone, to move beyond life's challenging terrain into the zone of success. Visit empoweredlivingcoaching.com for more information.
Imagine what it would be like to turn your pain into purpose. Tune in to Transformation with Martinet every second and fourth Friday at 10 a.m. Pacific on transformationtalkradio.com. Martinet and her guests are here shining their lights today through empowering stories of hardship and transformation. Begin to see your life in a new light. Visit martineemmons.com and tune in every second and fourth Friday at 10 a.m. Pacific to Transformation with Martinet.
Are you struggling with body image, aging, or grief? Hi, I'm Dr. T, and here to support you through life's challenging experiences. I specialize in offering valuable insights into the unique struggles and triumphs that accompany these sensitive topics. My expertise and compassionate approach ensure that you will feel supported and understood. Learn how you can receive guidance tailored to your specific needs and concerns. Visit me, Dr. T, at ccwithdrt.com.
So many of us find that we are stressed, unfulfilled, frustrated, and unhappy, and we do not know why. Hi, I'm Success Coach Gary Miles, and I'm the host of the Free Lawyer Podcast. It's my passion to coach other attorneys, entrepreneurs, and professionals like you to build your personal and your financial freedom. And my podcast is dedicated to helping you achieve the success you've always dreamed of. I help you uncover the hurdles that are holding you back, and I free you from the mindset blocks that cause your burnout and you're overwhelmed. With regular continuing support through texts and emails between sessions and tangible tools you can apply every day, you will gain the confidence and clarity to achieve your goals successfully and effectively. To learn more about how my free lawyer coaching program can help you and to subscribe to my podcast, The Free Lawyer with Gary Miles, visit www.garymiles.net.
Thank you.
We're back on Creating Connection with Dr. T. In this segment, I am going to lead you on a guided meditation to support you in identifying what you'd like to focus on either in this year or in a moment or in a day. And then I will also have this meditation up on Insight Timer, which is a free app that you can check out and use this at any time. But to wrap up the content that I was talking about, I love a good framework. I am always interested in understanding myself and others better. And so I hope that this helps you or supports you and your inquiry as you're going into this new year. So with that being said, if you are driving, you can listen along, but maybe not do the exercise and come back to it later. But for those of you who want to participate in this moment, I invite you to settle in. So as we settle in, finding a position that feels supportive, where you can be at ease, yet alert. Closing the eyes or lowering the gaze, whatever feels comfortable to you in this moment. And taking a couple of deep breaths, breathing in through the nose and out through the mouth. Let's do that two more times. Deep breath in. And exhale. One more time, deep breath in. And exhale. Allowing your breath to return to its natural rhythm. Paying attention to the body breathing. Allowing yourself to arrive and settle in this moment. Nowhere else to be, nowhere else to go, just right here, right now. Taking a pause to connect with yourself, much like you would a dear friend. Bringing your attention inward, knowing that the mind is a very busy bee, and that's what the mind does. No worries if you find yourself all of a sudden noticing a lot of thoughts. That's perfectly normal. And just gently inviting the attention back to the body breathing. Breathing in, knowing you're breathing in. Breathing out, knowing you're breathing out. Nothing to change, nothing to do, simply noticing this life-giving force. Bringing a sense of curiosity to the sensation of the body breathing. Maybe noticing where you're feeling the breath most easily. Is it at the tip of the nose? You might notice the air cooler as it enters the body and maybe slightly warmed as you exhale. You might notice the breath at the back of the throat. Or perhaps you notice it most easily in the chest, the rise on the inhale, the fall on the exhale. Remember, you're not trying to change anything or make anything different. You're simply noticing the body breathing. Or perhaps it's easiest to feel the body breathing in the belly, expanding on the inhale, contracting on the exhale. Simply breathing in, knowing you're breathing in, breathing out, knowing you're breathing out, inviting your attention back again and again to the present moment. You can never be in a future breath or in a past breath, so it's a great anchor of attention to the here and now. And as you allow yourself to settle in this moment, bringing curiosity and friendliness to whatever experience you're having, just allowing yourself to have the space to think, what is called for right now? What is the next right thing? Whether it's for this year, this moment, this day, the thoughts can get jumbled with planning and ideas and what's next. And this is an opportunity to pause and check in to see what actually is the right thing for you in this moment. And if you notice just a flurry of thoughts with the shoulds and the have tos, just seeing if you can check in with the body. Maybe there's a sense of warmth or awareness when something that is supportive for you in this moment or something that you do want to work for towards this year is as it settles into your awareness. But notice when you start shoulds and have tos, and then just come back to the breath, maybe taking a couple of mindful breaths, and then start the inquiry all over again. What is called for in this moment? What would I like to work towards today, in the next hour, in the next year? Really using this time as a time to connect and reset, to calm the busyness, to calm the shoulds and the have tos, to come back to the body, to the breath, to the present moment, inviting a sense of peace and ease and calm. Sometimes a couple of deep breaths is exactly what is needed to settle in, and sometimes more might be called for. But in this moment, breathing in, knowing you're breathing in, breathing out, knowing you're breathing out, and just checking in with the body. What's important right now? What would I like to give my time and attention to that would be supportive of my goals and values and the direction that I want to go? And if nothing comes to mind, don't force anything. This is just a moment in time to pause, reflect, and connect with your own inner wisdom. Just allowing yourself to be present in this moment, breathing in, breathing out, inviting kind attention and awareness to the experience as it is in this moment. And as you feel ready, inviting some movement to the body, maybe wiggling the fingers and toes or taking a stretch if that feels supportive, and opening the eyes if they've been closed. Thank you so much for doing that practice and offering yourself some kind attention. And this is an important thing to reset, to come back to, because again, the noise, the social media, the shoulds and the woulds, and you know, all of these things can be so overwhelming and really You know, as you go into a new year, a fresh start, each day is again a fresh start, but pausing, checking in, what is important to you in this moment, or what is supportive for you to meet those goals that you want to achieve. And so for action items, take the four tendencies quiz. I would be curious and excited to hear what type you are and talk about how that has helped me in communication. And I'd be curious to hear how it supports you in your daily life. Take the dressing your truth quiz. Pro tip, you know, many people often think that they're a type two, which is kind of this, if you're identify as female, because that's kind of the standards that society says women should be. Anyways, but take the DYT, the Dressing Your Truth quiz, and then do some journaling if you are so inclined. Just, you know, to check in with yourself. That's often a good way to get at the subconscious, and maybe even say, you know, what is called for today, or you know, and then just write without stopping yourself. And as always, I offer a free live guided meditation on Zoom on Mondays, which is at 1 p.m. Eastern, 12 p.m. Central, 10 a.m. Pacific. You can go to my website, ccwithdrt.com, to reserve your spot. Again, that's ccwithdrt.com to reserve your spot. And I just want to say thank you all so much for tuning in to Creating Connection with me. I'm grateful that you choose to spend this time with me today. And please reach out with questions, comments, show ideas. It does really help me if you share my show, if you're so inclined. And join me on the first and third Wednesdays of every month, 1 p.m. Eastern, 12 Central, 10 a.m. Pacific. And until then, take good care of yourself and others. And I'll see you back here on January 17th. Thank you so much. Be well. Thank you for listening to Creating Connection with me, Dr. T. You can join me by tuning in on the first and third Wednesdays every month at 10 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com, where we will navigate being human together. Being human means that we all have a body, and we will all experience loss, grief, and aging if we're lucky. Let's join together on this journey of exploration, support, and mutual learning. I love bringing people together, and on Creating Connection, we are a conversation away from understanding another person and, quite frankly, ourselves. For more information, visit ccwithdrt.com.
Views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.